Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 2016 State of the City Address. Please join me in thanking Roger McConnell and America's Hometown Band for the great music. Also, thank you to Sandra Gooding for being our interpreter for today's program. My name is J.D. Schrock, and I'm your MC for today. I am a seventh grader at Burris Laboratory School, and in 2012, I was selected as the first honorary deputy mayor for Mayor Tyler's administration. Before we begin, I would like to invite Pastor Bob Ball of Inside Out Community Development Corporation and Blood and Fire Ministries to come as we all stand for the invocation. Please remain standing for the playing of the Star Spangled Banner.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I would like to invite you all to agree with me in prayer at any point that your conscience permits. Let's pray. Almighty God, we welcome you and acknowledge your abiding presence and your divine governance in our midst. We are thankful for this opportunity to gather and remember and to celebrate the many blessings that you have bestowed upon our city, and to petition you for the many needs that cry out for our attention. We pray and seek your face for the peace and the welfare of the city of Muncie. We ask that you would grant each of us the grace to do our part by getting involved and being a part of the solution to the challenges that we face. Father, we pray that you will work in and through us and cause Muncie to be a city set on a hill whose light cannot be hidden. Thank you, Father, for your word declares that you desire your people to rebuild the ancient ruins and to raise up the former desolations and to renew the ruined cities, that you are causing us to be called the repairers of the breach and restorers of the streets to dwell in. Therefore, we call upon you to empower us in the rebuilding and the renewal of our city. We declare peace to our streets. We ask that you grant grace, wisdom, insight, understanding, guidance, and protection to our mayor, his staff, our city council, our public service personnel, our business community, our faith-based community, our agencies, and all those who labor so diligently to make our city a desirable place to live, to work, and to call our home. We ask for a unity born of the Holy Spirit, which will permit us to work together for the common good and the well-being of everyone who dwells in our city. Your word declares that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whichever way you desire. Therefore, we pray and believe that the heart of our mayor is in your hand and that your hand moves his decisions. Father, you declared these words, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Therefore, we ask in faith that you would abundantly bless our city so that all who live here would experience your protection, care, abundant provision, and an improving quality of life in each and every neighborhood where they reside. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Our next presenter is a graduating senior at Muncie Central High School and current president of the Mayor's Youth Council. Please join me in welcoming Zaria Williams to the stage to introduce the mayor.
Good afternoon. I am honored to present our mayor to all of you today. Dennis Tyler grew up on the south side of Muncie and is a graduate of Muncie Central High School. He proudly served as a line captain for the Muncie Fire Department before retiring after 42 years of service. In 2006, he was sworn into office as a state legislator where he served District 34 honorably for 6 years. At the State House, Tyler had the privilege of serving on committees that focused on veterans affairs, public safety, employment labor, pensions, roads, and transportation, autism, and government reform. He resigned from his position from the State House in December 2011 after he was elected the 29th mayor of the city of Muncie, assuming his duties effective January 1st, 2012. Now serving his second term, we have seen the results of Mayor Tyler's motto, "Imagine the possibilities we have when we all work together." He has even involved the Mayor's Youth Council in activities over the past few years, like the 150th anniversary Time Capsule presentation, the reading of proclamations, serving as ambassadors at luncheons and programs, and just last weekend serving as team captains for the American Heart Walk. We are proud of his leadership and his ability to bring people together, and we look forward to hearing him share today. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you my mayor, my mentor, the Honorable Mayor Dennis Tyler.
Thank you, Zaria. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, and good afternoon. We're so happy to have you all here this afternoon for the first afternoon State of the City. We thought we'd change it up a little bit and try to do something a little bit different. We hope you enjoy it. We also thought since we weren't serving breakfast, nobody would be falling asleep during it. But thank you so much for being here. I would like to recognize a few people before we get started that are here today that are also elected officials that are in the room. Kay Walker, our Center Township Trustee, is here today. Thank you for being here, Kay. Jorge Ortiz with Senator Donnelly's office is here. State Representative Sue Arrington is here. County Commissioner Sherry Regan is here. City Clerk Melissa Peckinpah. And the City Council members that are here today, ladies and gentlemen, have been such a strong partner with our administration and doing some pretty great things over the last 4.5 years is Lynn Peters, Allison Quirk, Nora Powell, Doug Marshall, Julius Anderson, Linda Gregory, Dan Ridenour, and Jerry Dishman. Please all stand up, please. Thank you so much for everything you're doing for our community. I have a couple other very special people to me here in the room today, and one of them is a former city councilman that's been a lifelong friend of mine, and his name is Elmer Cox. But I think what makes Elmer so special to our community, ladies and gentlemen, is not just his public service, but when we was getting our picture taken earlier, he told me that 70 years ago today, he was fighting in Okinawa. So Elmer, thank you for your service to our community and to our country. Thank you so much. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Elmer. And if we have any other veterans in the room, please stand up and let us recognize you, please. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your service. I don't know how many of you were here 4 years ago in 2012, but, you know, JD could just barely see up and over this podium. JD is really a fantastic young man, and I know his parents are so proud of him, and he's just, he shows you everything that's good about our public schools and everything that we're trying to do in our community in providing a good quality education for children of all ages from every part of our community. I'd like to thank a lot of people that was very important in putting this on today, and I wouldn't be standing up here if they hadn't put a lot of time and energy in getting this done. And Aaron Kidder in my office, Sam back in the back, spent a lot of time the last few days really working on a lot of things to help me. The Horizon Convention Center, the Chamber of Commerce, Munson Young Professionals, Intersection put together the handouts for you to take home with you, ladies and gentlemen, with a beautiful, I think, timeline and very informative timeline on how things have went since we took office in 2012. C.S. Kern, who put this together for us, and Roger McConnell and America's Hometown Band. Please recognize all of them, if you would, please. I have two other very special people with me here today. One is my grandson, CJ, who is a fourth grader at Sutton School and an honor roll member. I'd like to recognize all of my department heads. If you could stand up for a minute, please, and be recognized. They work about 80 hours a week, each of them, doing everything they can to improve this community. And then the last but not least is the most important person in the room and to me, and that's my wife. Your spouses make all things possible, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Thank you again so much for everybody being here. They've got me working with both hands today, so they say it'll be a little bit easier for me. But Muncie is still not a city that doesn't have challenges. Muncie had challenges in 2012, ladies and gentlemen, when we took office. Muncie still have challenges today in 2016. It's what we're doing to address those challenges. It's what we're doing as elected leaders, community leaders, business leaders, and what we do to move Muncie in a direction that makes the right type of sense for us. Some of the things that we've been able to do, you gotta give me a minute here to get used to this, okay. Some of the issues that we're dealing with, ladies and gentlemen, in the city council can tell you firsthand as well as we can. Property tax caps, not just in the city of Muncie, but second-class cities and third-class cities all over the state of Indiana continuing to impact us and our schools in ways that it's hard to imagine unless you're the ones that are elected sitting and looking at those budgets, not just at the city level, but at the county level, and their challenges. And it's how we work together and forge partnerships to deal with those challenges is how we hope to be successful. Some of the things that we've been able to do is we've been able to forge partnerships with the county and other agencies and partners to keep Muncie in good fiscal health. Ending all 4 years of our first 4 years of administration, we are in the black. I would be very... I would be remiss if I didn't mention our great public employees that we have within the city of Muncie and what they do for all of you. And what they did for our administration in working with us and the city council, recognizing the challenges that we had, agreeing to become educated and working with us to eliminate the PPO health insurance programs that we were on and going to HSAs and putting together HSA programs that gave them a great opportunity to still have a quality health insurance plan, a quality clinic, in a partnership with IU Health. And if there's anybody here with IU Health, I want you to know how much we appreciate everything that you're doing to educate our employees and help them understand the importance of health and wellness and what that does to not only have them have a healthier lifestyle and a better lifestyle, but it also helps us to save money. As we continue to work with our city and we continue to grow and prosper, it's important that we understand the emphasis on public safety. Every program and every opportunity that I have to listen and learn, ladies and gentlemen, about the importance of what it takes to move communities forward and how we create our partnerships and how we create the partnerships that make a difference in our great community. The first thing that everybody talks about is public safety. You have to have strong public safety services. You have to have them in a way that they can perform at a high level, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and ready to react to whatever the emergency is. Working with the city council, as we saw our property tax caps increase a little bit over $5 million more for last year and this year, we knew we had to do something extremely critical and move forward in a positive way to make sure that we could continue our complements of public safety officers and still provide the other services. And we adopted the public safety LOIT. It was a very important piece of our legislation that we needed to move forward to continue to move our community forward, and it was the right thing to do. Through all of our funding initiatives, we continue are able to provide a full complement of police officers and firefighters 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to respond to any type of emergency within this community. And that's very important. And it also has allowed us to free up general funds to do a lot of the other things that you'll see as we move forward in this. What this does, ladies and gentlemen, very simply, is it allows us to continue to protect our streets and citizens to a greater degree and expand our programs and services in our public safety departments. In our police department, as you can see on the screen, in the last year, we've implemented body cams. That wouldn't have been possible without a strong support from the Ball Brothers Foundation, and we greatly appreciate them helping us get that jump started. The body cams have been a great asset to our police officers. They work both ways. It gives us an opportunity and gives our department an opportunity to know exactly what they're doing and what they're going into, and it also gives them an opportunity after the fact to be able to go back in and review it. This year, for the first time, you'll see more officers in the neighborhoods. Chief Stewart has implemented a plan to get people, officers, on the streets, walking in certain neighborhoods, giving them an opportunity to be able to become better connected in the neighborhoods, give them an opportunity to have the right type of neighborhood patrols. And one of the things that I'm really, really excited about, if you look at the bottom of the steps there, you'll see two bicycles. We now have 5 bicycles for the police department. They'll be going out into key neighborhoods again, getting on bicycles, riding with kids, riding with people, giving them an opportunity to meet everybody. And again, everything that we learn as we try to create partners in the business community and the private sector and the public sector, it's how we connect our community to everything that we want to be successful in is what will allow us the opportunity to be successful. In 2012, as we have said before, we initiated our safe stations at the fire stations. And we also worked a program and created warming stations that will allow us in any type of emergency, if we need it, if freezing weather or whatever it is, we open those fire stations up and we open City Hall up 24 hours a day to provide emergency services to people that may have no other place to turn. The safe stations work. It gives children an opportunity to get someplace if they're feeling challenged in their neighborhood or threatened in their neighborhood. It gives them a great opportunity to get in a safe, secured place that then we can get the information that we need to the proper authorities. Our firefighters have expanded their rapid intervention teams to better protect our firefighters and citizens in emergency situations and hazards. They've created and worked with other fire departments across the state for the Fire Ops Training Program that is offered to local officials and community leaders. And I think Councilman Gregory participated in that last year, didn't you, Linda? And you and Judd Fisher and Brad Polk. As a matter of fact, I heard Judd Fisher talk about it yesterday in a program that we was in, and he was talking about the flashover fires and what he learned in those flashover fires, that a firefighter has 5 seconds to get out of that type of hazard. That's not much time. But the great part about it is, and what Judd said, and I'm sure Linda would agree, and Brad would too if he was here, they get to see firsthand what firefighters go through every day, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And it's a great training program. One of the things that we're very, very proud of that we re-implemented in 2012 was the Medical First Responder Program. And if you have the opportunity to ever talk to Dr. Cornelo, who's one of the directors at IU Health Emergency Room, he'll tell you that the Muncie Fire Department's Medical First Responder Program is a role model for the rest of the state and the nation, and that their partnership that they do with Delaware County EMS and the emergency room saves many, many lives each and every year. I'd also like to recognize IU Health, ladies and gentlemen, for something that's very important to me, and I'd like to back up for just a second. When I was talking about the police department and everything they do, I had the unfortunate opportunity a couple weeks ago to visit one of my police officers that had been rushed to the hospital in a very serious injury from a police action issue. And I can't tell you how good it makes you feel as a mayor to walk into an emergency room that you see the emergency medical personnel responding that the way that they are on those types of issues and protecting our law enforcement and our public safety people and keeping them in an area that they can get them secured and make sure that they're getting taken care of properly. And when you look at what IU Health and that emergency room goes through day in and day out, 24 hours a day, and then making sure that those law enforcement officers and those public safety officers are getting the quality of care they need to get them back out on the street as quickly as they can. That's a big deal. One of the things that I'm very excited about to talk about today, you know, we can talk about the difficult tasks that we have all the time with our public safety and how they continue to operate at a high level and they do. One of the things that we started in 2012, and it started with a dream, with a few people, and I know Kim Dotson's here in the room someplace with the ARC of Indiana, the executive director and a member of ARC Innovations, and I see Vicki Veach here that's a part of the ARC Innovations LLC. You know, we started talking about a future of a hotel and a training center for people with disabilities in 2012, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of people told us we was nuts, it couldn't be done, it'd never be done, and all sorts of reasons why it shouldn't be done, and on and on and on. But, you know, in December of 2015, that hotel opened. And that hotel opened with a training center that has put Muncie on the map, not just here and not just in the state of Indiana, but all over the country, as it's the only hotel of its kind with a training center for helping people with disabilities become employable. And I believe it was in April, Ken, they had their first graduating class. They had 7 applicants in the graduating class. 6 of them have jobs today and are becoming self-sufficient from that. And what's cool about them, every one of them, when I got to talk to them, they couldn't wait to get their first check and pay their taxes. You know, and I like that. I really, really like that. But yeah, at the graduation, ladies and gentlemen, the training center is called Erskine Green. Erskine is Carl Erskine. Most people in this room know who Carl Erskine is. And from his professional baseball years, but maybe what you don't know is a son that he has that has disabilities. And Carl, back in the day, when I was on that fire department, and some of us back in the day when we had a lot of time that we could volunteer for Special Olympics, we got to do some things with his son. But Carl, after the program, you know, Carl's from Anderson, Indiana. And, you know, Anderson and Muncie have always been pretty competitive on a lot of things. But Carl was just a great, gifted speaker. He believes in what he's doing in helping people with disabilities. But when we was done and we was talking, he said, I'm kind of jealous of you, Mayor. And I says, why is that? And he said, because it looks like Muncie's getting a lot of things that Anderson aren't. And he said, I love my city, but he said, I am so proud of what Muncie's doing to see a hotel here with a training center. And, you know, there was a lot of people in this room that said we need to get that done. And some of the main players in that said that we needed to get that, and we needed that for Muncie's future that could really jumpstart our downtown again, ladies and gentlemen, was our financial institutions. And they stepped right up to the plate and helped us put together a bonding package with the city council that worked for everybody concerned to put that to work and put that in place. And some of the things that maybe you don't recognize on that hotel created, I need to flip the switch, don't I, here? Yeah. That hotel created 200,000 local working man hours. That all of that economy stayed right here in Muncie and Delaware County, ladies and gentlemen. And they were paid at local construction wages. And that's pretty important when you can talk about a project like that, that almost 90% of that total investment stayed here. 200,000 local man hours. That's pretty impressive. And that's all through the hard work of ARC Innovations and them working with our administration and the city council to make sure that we did everything we could to keep that money here. Another great thing that we're very proud of in the disability community is our partnership that we've been able to form with the Hillcroft Work Center. You know, Hillcroft began a development of a new work center for people with disabilities out in the air park. That's where a shell building was at that the Muncie Redevelopment Commission in the city of Muncie had. Hillcroft Work Center, ladies and gentlemen, has taken that, and their board of directors, and some of them are here right now. I know the president is here, Debbie Bennett. Some of the other board members are here. If you want to stand up, Chad, Ted, some of you that are help put this dream together. What they've done again, ladies and gentlemen, they've expanded disability employment in this community. They have 600 currently working out there, somewhere close to that, and within a few months, my understanding is that there's going to be 50 more people hired with disabilities and another 50 hired on the other side of the employment scale, which will bring them up to 700 employees. You look at what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, throughout our community, from north, south, and east and west, with the partnerships that we've been able to create with the ARC of Indiana and their affiliates and with Hillcroft Center. These things, in so many ways, are putting Muncie on a map that I don't think we could have imagined just a few years ago. That a community that really cares and really wants to see people with disabilities have an opportunity to truly become employable and take the next steps that need to be done to get that done. One of the things that we've also worked on, we were able to accomplish as we put this together and moved it forward, was, and everybody that's been in Muncie for the last 25 years, we've talked about a quiet zone and the importance of a quiet zone through the heart of the city. And we knew in what we had to put together and what we needed to put together with Marriott and their partners and with everything else that we had that we were attempting to create in downtown Muncie, we needed to get something done with the quiet zone. We was very fortunate to be able to put together a lot of good people. HWC Engineering, our city engineers worked extremely close with CSX and Norfolk Southern, Senator Donnelly's office, Congressman Messer's office and others being able to put this together and have it ready and ready to open, or at least partially open, when the hotel opened in December of last year. And most of it is working today, and it's working very well. Every now and then you'll get one of them guys coming through on the train and he forgets it and he blows the horn. But most of it is working very well. And we just talked to Jorge. They're going to be reaching out to make sure that everything is kosher between the FRA and all of that will be in place, we think, in the next couple of weeks. And again, it's part of us coming up with ideas and partnerships and initiatives to improve a very aging infrastructure throughout our city. Some of the things that we've been able to accomplish over the last year is a roundabout just opened in 2015 at Walnut and Regan. A lot of people question roundabouts, but people in county government or state government or local government will tell you that when you're getting those federal matches to get those done and they're willing to put up 80% of that money, and that's what they want is a roundabout, then that's what you're going to build. You're going to build a roundabout. But I guess where I get a little bit confused sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, when I hear people talk that these roundabouts don't work. Sometime when you're not doing anything, maybe around 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, drive out to State Road 3 there at Highway 3 Hardware and stop at that four-way stop right there and see how far you're backed up. And then just head west to Walnut and Regan at that roundabout, and you just boom, and you're through it, and you're moving right on. And they're safe, and they work. And again, the worth of those are they're simply a 20% investment of ours with our local match, and they work very well. Some of the things that we were able to do last year that I don't think had been accomplished in many, many years, ladies and gentlemen, we were able to take our resources, and as we was able to get some things done, we were able to pave 48 linear miles in the city of Muncie. Linear miles are very important to understand when you're talking about how you're doing your paving. We averaged about, and you can see it in your brochure when you take it with you, I think we averaged around 35 miles a year for 12, 13, and 14. And with the hard work of everybody, we was able to bump it up, and we got 48 miles done last year. The challenge is, again, when you're looking at a 450 linear mile infrastructure, you need to find a lot of money very quick to really keep it going and to really get it done the way that you need to get it done. But it's working, and we're working very well. We're also in the process of putting together a partnership with Delaware County and Metropolitan Plan Commission in Marta Moody's office on a new MPO program, a maintenance paving operation program, that we can better track and manage our street assets for coating, cracking, crack sealing, and paving. And we believe that at the end of the day, when it's done, in the long haul, that initial investment on the front end will save us hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on maintenance on the backside. We also now, we just went through a winter, and our office gets deluged, beat down, beat up with potholes. And we now have two ways to report potholes in the city of Muncie. One, we've had our Twitter account, Muncie Potholes, for years. Or at least since we've been in office, it's a good way to do it. Don't report them too often now, okay? And then the new Delaware County GIS with Kyle Johnson, they're also putting together a separate reporting system. So we're pretty excited about all that. I think you would all agree with me that these are all important infrastructure accomplishments and are needed in our community, as any older second-class city is. But I think and I hope that you would agree that we need to begin to think about infrastructure as more than just roads, more than just sidewalks, and more than just water mains and fire hydrants. We need to begin to consider a holistic approach to infrastructure that encompasses all modes of transportation and pedestrian access. It's important for us to improve the quality of place and quality of life with those types of connectivity opportunities that will allow us to grow our neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods will be much safer, they'll be much calmer, and it will allow us to continue to grow and drive investment. We established a bike ped committee. We had a great group of people that agreed to serve on a bike ped committee. Kyle Johnson, I know, is here in the room someplace. Where you at, Kyle? Right there. Kyle works in GIS, and Kyle has just been fantastic in keeping people's eye on the prize of what we're trying to do. It was established in early 2015, a new city council ordinance that specified how children under 12 years old have access to sidewalks with their bicycles in the city of Muncie. We also put some pedestrian access opportunities in there. The first task was to update our city code relating to pedestrian and bicycles. They have now become a formal committee that meets every month, at least every month. They focus on policy, they focus on code enforcement, they focus on education, and they focus on outreach. They also offer many programs and events such as bike to work days, rides to school. As a matter of fact, Longfellow School will have a